Grab your Bibles, please. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, and we're going through the red letters. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I'm finding you back there. We're going through the red letters. And I found it. You know, a lot of people today will say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but don't even know what he has said. And so what I thought we'd do is go through the book of Matthew and look at all the words of Christ. And what he says, and learn of him. I think that's our desire is, Lord, I want to learn more about you. You know, because I love you, I want to know more about you. Right? I know back, I share with you, my wife and I shared letters. And she was the only person in the world I ever wrote to. You know, my poor mom. I got to be careful because my mom watches this. And then sometimes she calls me up and she corrects me. Or she's like, at one point, oh, I got to be careful. Don't listen, Mom. But she'll turn around and she's like, the people are going to think I'm awful. I said, no, you were a good mom. I love my mom. But I didn't write her. I was in college. Never wrote my mom. But my wife, right? And we would share letters back and forth. You know, for some of you, that was before internet, before Facebook. There was a world that existed back then. And so we corresponded. And I couldn't wait to get a letter in the mail, and because I was in love, and I wanted to know everything about, right? And as I love the Lord, I want to know all about him, and the best way to do that is actually look at what he has said. And so this morning, as we turn around and look at the words of Christ, and I think it's going to shock you, because in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had started off his ministry. Last week we talked about that Jesus got baptized. He said, look, let this happen. We have that humility as Jesus starts off his ministry. And as an example for us, the Lord submitted to that. And he came down through and decided, you know what, ministry is going to start. The Holy Spirit brought him out to the wilderness and he was tempted. And we talk about temptation. And how Jesus pushed off temptation is a lesson for us of how we can resist the devil. And then he starts off his ministry. And he starts off with an interesting message, a message that probably would shock a lot of people. Because when you talk about Jesus, and people say, oh, I love Jesus. And everyone's like, Jesus is all about love. And that is true. And today we talk a lot about acceptance. Inclusion. We talk about all these great terms. Is that is a Christian thing. And it's interesting because Jesus' first sermon that he starts off in is repentance. Matthew chapter 4, take a look at verse 17. It says, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We don't talk a lot about this idea of repentance today. It's really a foreign thing. A lot of churches today want to promote, you know, just encouraging and uplifting sermons. And I'll tell you, I love to be uplifted and encouraged. I don't know about you, but my week was a rough week this week. Just every one of those weeks where you just feel like the wheels just all fall off. And so I've kind of had that week, and I really needed an encouraging, uplifting message this morning. And it struck me as we talk about this idea of repentance. Repentance isn't, we always think of it as a negative, and it's really not particularly all that negative, because there's two sides of it. There's two sides to the idea of repentance. And it depends on which side you want to look at. You can say, well, Pastor, this is a real negative downer. Or you can look at it and say, this is a really encouraging type of message. The idea of repentance, to repent, has the idea of to turn away from. Especially in the Old Testament, the Hebrew words that are used for this means to turn away. We see this oftentimes, turn from your sin. But here's the idea. If you turn from something, guess what? You're turning to something. Right? It's kind of how physics works, right? If I'm going this way and I turn from that, that means I've changed direction. Actually, in the New Testament, the Greek word has more of an idea of changing one's mind, changing how you think about something. And once again, you can focus on the negative. You say, well, change off what I'm thinking on. Because I don't know about you, but my thoughts aren't always thinking about the positive things. Right? And you start focusing and dwelling on those things. You know? And you get discouraged. You get down. I know you guys are old enough to remember there used to be a product called Calgon. It was like a bubble bath. I don't even know if they make it anymore. Just for the record, I never used it. But the old commercials show this mother in the bathtub, right? And they show the kids out in the house, and they're just swinging off the chandeliers and tying up the dog, and they're doing all these things, and they pants through the house, and the laundry's piling up, and all these things are going on, and they finally come up through the bathroom door, and they show the mother in the bathtub, and there was all the little bubbles. And it was like, do you remember the commercial? It was Calgon, take me away. You guys just dated yourself. The Calgon, take me away. Make it all go away. You ever felt that way? And yet what God tells us is to change our thoughts. And not just empty ourselves. I always kind of cringe because today the philosophy is just empty yourself, right? The Bible doesn't tell us to empty ourselves. It always tells us to fill ourselves, right? So when I change my thinking, I'm changing from one point of view, changing to something else. That's repentance. And because we repent, now I want to be clear, there's a difference between repenting and being sorry. Right? Or, I love this. Have you heard a politician apologize? I love a politician's apology, right? Because it goes like this. If you were offended, I'm sorry. Well, you know what they've just done is blamed you, right? It's your fault. Repentance is a change of heart, change of direction in my life. And Jesus says here, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. That when we truly repent, when we truly come to the Lord and change our thoughts, change our direction, change our lives, when we do all of these things, right? It has an impact on our lives. That's what the Bible always talks about, the idea of fruit. As I change direction, change things in my life, different things happen. It's a different byproduct in my life. John puts it this way. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess here means to agree with. Who am I agreeing with? With God. Right? When I look at my life and look at what I'm doing and look at these things and I agree with God from his point of view, he forgives us. Right? As a husband, I'm sort of slow on this. Right? Because some of my apologies are kind of like the politician thing. Right? I'm sorry you were offended. I'm sorry that. And my wife will say, do you really understand why this hurt me? Right? Are you saying this just so you get out of hot water? Right? Or do you really mean it? And this amazing thing happens when we see things, our actions, our deeds, through the eyes of others, how it changes what we do. That's repentance. And let me give you a little run to start in this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. It says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that it might be fulfilled was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in great darkness have seen the great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light had dawned. And he talks about that the Christ, the Messiah, was going to come from the Galilee region. And Christ fulfilled that scripture. And Jesus starts off his ministry. Look at what he says. For from that time, Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This idea of repentance, because I'm really getting tired of people saying, you know, Jesus is all about inclusion and acceptance and all those things. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus welcomes you as you are. All right? You know, no one has to get cleaned up for the Lord. You don't have to do that. He loves you as you are. He died for you as you are. But when you come to him, there's a transformation that takes place. The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't do what I used to do because now I have Christ. Now, I'm talking a lot about marriage. I'm probably getting in trouble when I get home. But my wife was very patient with me because when we were first married, she had to remind me. She goes, John, you're a married guy now. You know? I had my buddies and pals say, hey, let's go off and do this. I'd be like, yeah, woohoo. And my wife's like, wait a minute. And especially as a new married guy, I was like, you know, I didn't want to be that one that says, well, I have to go ask my wife. Right? Because, you know, gals, you guys don't have this. I don't know. But the guy friends were like, oh, the old ball and chain. Oh, what? Right? And I was like, and my wife would say, you know what? You got to remember now, you're married. I had to change my thoughts. I changed my actions because of the position I was in. Because I love her, I did that. But Jesus preaching repentance is very consistent throughout Scripture. John the Baptist, his ministry before that, is in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Fast forward, Peter. Peter's first sermon turns around and says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Peter preached repentance of turning and changing our minds in relation to God. Paul, who God used to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, we see this come in here. And Paul was preaching grace. But he also preached repentance. In Acts 26, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and through all the regions of Judah, and then to the Gentiles, that they should what? Repent and turn to God and do the works befitting of repentance. There's that idea of turning, right? Paul preached repentance. And true repentance really involves, I'm going to say, four things. The first one is an awareness of one's sin. Right? It's hard to turn from something when you don't acknowledge it. Right? You can't change until you acknowledge that there needs to be a change. We talk about salvation, right? God saved me. Let me ask, he saved you from what? From the sin, the shame that hold us back, of the lifestyles we were living. And God has called us to change that. But it starts with, almost like Alcoholics Anonymous, right? The first step is acknowledge it. You know, I need a Savior. You know, I'm messed up. I'm broken. And Lord, I need you. And that's not a critical statement at all. That's an acknowledgement that I need something. And Jesus is that something. Psalms 51 states this, it's against you and only you have I sinned. He goes on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, change me. Change my thoughts. Change my directions. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I've tried to do this on my own, and I can't. I need you. Have you ever heard anyone say that Christianity is just a crutch? But you know what? For the lame and broken, I need a crutch. Man, I need a whole stretcher some days. Lord, carry me. If I would be honest, probably longer than I want to admit, But I know in the last few months, I said, God, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. And God just says, John, just follow me. Lord, carry me. Right? It's not by my strength, not by my skills, not by my wisdom, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And you can work in me, Lord. Create in me this new heart. Help me stand. Prophet Isaiah said it this way. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As I look at your word, Lord, as I get closer to him, I realize how I fall short of that. Let me tell you something. If you're at the end of your rope, and you're like, all I got to do is reach out to God, you know what? You're not in a bad place. I think sometimes the problem is, our rope's too long. We wait too long. Right? God becomes the last resort instead of the first resort in our lives. So acknowledge it. Lord, I need you. Lord, I've fallen short. Lord, I'm struggling. And Lord, I need you. True repentance turns around and says we take hold of God's mercy. See, here's the good news. God already knows you. Right? We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to try to impress God. He already knows what we're like. And he loves us anyways. That's amazing. On the days when I feel like I fail, God's not surprised. He already knew. And he loved me anyways. Right? There's nothing you can do that will surprise God. And he's already accounted for it. And his mercies are new every day. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You know, the days when I beat myself up because I struggle and I stumble and I failed and I'm ready to give up. All those days, Jesus says, you know what, I renew that and it's forgiven. Come to me. What took you so long? You know, for so long I didn't understand these passages like this until I became a parent. And I think every parent has had that. Your child's struggling, something's going on, and you're like, just tell me. Just tell me what's up. Right? God wants to hear it. You can say, well, God already knows. Once again, I pull in the parent thing. There's a lot of times when I know what's going on, and I just want to hear them say it. I want you to tell me. Reach out to me. And God's mercy and his loving kindness overcomes us. It's an old song that says, grace is greater than all my sins. Where sin abounds, grace much more did abound. Find and throw yourself on the mercy of God, and his loving kindness and gentleness and mercies will overcome you and bring peace. So change of attitude and action. True repentance has an action to it. I put weeds. I'll explain that in just a second. But Paul told Corinthians, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, but not regretted. But sorrow of this world produces death. We talk the idea of being sorry and being repentful. As we come to God, what repentance does is bring us to the cross. It brings us to the mercy and love. And in that, it brings restoration with God. See, that's the good part of it. Right? If I was going to use this marriage illustration, might as well. I'm on a roll here. But, you know, when I've done something really stupid, which happens more often than you think. And when I got that, and there's that wall between my wife and I, right? Because I knew I blew it. I'm being stubborn. Now, I'm glad none of you guys ever have that. Right? And I'm being stubborn, and I'm not willing to change it. And that wall builds up. I mean, I remember being young and foolish and sleeping on the couch. I'll show you. I'm old. My back can't take it now. So what we've done is you've got a king-size bed, so now it's just like, you stay on your side. And that wall builds up. But wow, when I admit my wrong, when I admit my fault, I admit the pain, I admit these things, and I repent of it, I change, what bliss that comes in to feel that. And when we come to God and we pour ourselves out to Him, and He restores us and we pick back up, and God says, now go this way. Change your mind, change your direction. And in there, for the Christian, repentance isn't a failure, but it brings a restoration. That's what this verse is talking about here. But worldly sorrow brings death. If it's just a matter of I'm sorry I got caught, I'm sorry I suffer the consequences of my sin, if that's that's not repentance. A good example of this, look at Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Judas betrayed the Lord 1. The Bible says that Judas got his money and he hauled up Jesus away, and later on that night the Bible says he repented. He came back and Judas looked at the money and said, what have I done? And he threw the money back and he went out and hung himself. He felt sorry, but he didn't repent. Peter, who denied the Lord not once, but 3 times, in here found forgiveness and restoration. And Jesus said, go and feed my sheep. Do you see the difference? Our actions afterwards. True repentance is I change. James starts off this way. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Right? I know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me do it. You show me the way. You show me the direction. You show me the change I need to do. Lord, guide me. Lead me in that way. And He saved us to change us. And I put in there the weeds because this always reminds me of this. I'm not a gardener. Now, I hear, any gardeners here? I heard this has been a good year for the gardens. And I've heard, you know, people are, a friend of mine posted a zucchini that's like this big. Right? I mean, it gets any bigger, you'll carve it out and use it like a Flintstone car. Right? Things are going well. Well, I learned early on, I've tried to raise a garden because I love veggies and fruits. I love those things. A fresh tomato, good stuff. My problem is, I love all that, but I'm lazy. And I don't weed. And I start off, if you're, understand what I'm talking about, you start off like, oh, we're the farmer, and we're going to go out, and we live on the land, and no. And so you go out there in the first, week, you're picking a few of the little plants around and all that, and I get excited because you plant the peas, and the little peas come up, but I don't know what is a pea and what is something else, so I just let it both grow. Oh, don't laugh. As a kid, my stepfather sent us out to the garden, the weed the garden. And I was all excited. I was probably about 10 years old. So went out to the garden, and they had the peas. And so I got down there, and there's all this. And I figured, well, he planted the peas, so whatever there was most of must have been the peas. So I went down the row and picked the peas and left all the weeds. My stepfather was not impressed. But my problem is we've done gardens, and we start off like the first time it's like, oh, well then, here we got black flies. You guys don't have those things in Pennsylvania, but they're these invisible little demons that fly around to suck your blood. But you go out and they get so thick, it's like, oh, this ain't, I'll come out tomorrow. Well, then after a while, tomorrow, because another tomorrow, the next thing you know, the weeds are overcoming, and you're like, I'll just come back. And so anytime we've done a garden, which has been years because I know how I am, is that at the end of the fall, it's fall time, we play this game called Let's Find the Fruit. All right, first one to find a cucumber, and you're looking through all the weeds and you do get a few things. But my problem is, as much as I love the veggies, I don't hate the weeds enough. And I talked to a lady, this is where this came from. She goes, Pastor, if you want to be a good gardener, you got to love the plants and hate the weeds. right? Well, I like the plants. I don't like the weeds, but I don't hate them enough to go hunt them out and search them out. Well, folks, in our Christian life, we need to love God and hate our sin. And the message we get so many times today in this world is like, come to Jesus and hang on to your sin. And so many Christians are living a defeated life because they love salvation, but they love the world too. And Jesus said you can't love two people. You can't serve two masters. Lastly, in here, we have the desire for holy living. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Paul told Timothy, said, flee from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace for those who called on the Lord out of a pure heart. Folks, the Lord has called us and saved us out of sin. Why do we keep going back? The whole book of Galatians, the story of there is like, hey, Christian, why are you going back? God saved you out of this. Why are you going back to it? You're free. You're redeemed. Why go back? And truly, repentance is, Lord, I want to keep pressing on. I don't want to keep doing what I was doing. But I need you, right? Go back to God's mercy. Lord, change my thoughts. Show me your way. Help me to follow you. Forgive me when I fail. But repentance brings us and restores that relationship with God. So Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand. And I just want to pick up this last verse here, this last bit. Because repent, but yes, why? The kingdom of God is at hand. In here he says, look, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, the Lord is coming back. And in here, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, I don't want to be out doing something and watching something and listening to something and have the Lord come back and say, oops. Lord, I want to be faithful when you come. And it's interesting because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly when he is returning. I believe it's going to be soon. I look at the signs of the times. Actually, right now, Sunday nights, we're going through the book of Revelation. You're looking for a good Bible study, show up Sunday night, 5:30, and we're going through the book of Revelation. And we read these things unfold, and I think we are close. But the Lord didn't tell us exactly when. And you know why? Because what I would do is wait until the last minute, right? I do this with my wife. My wife leaves the house. I'm talking about a lot about my marriage. Maybe this is good therapy, I guess. I don't know. But my wife leaves. All right? So I'm going to go shopping. You know the first question I ask her? When are you coming back? Why? Because I want to know how long I have to clean up the mess I made. Oh, don't you laugh. You guys been there. Right? Because every once in a while, she shows up early. And I, you know, run around and do the tidy and do the pickup. Oh no, right? Quick, quick, quick. And folks, the Lord knows us. And I would wait to the last minute, the last hour to serve him. And Paul told Titus this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Live our lives knowing the Lord's coming back. And watch for him. Serve him while we do. And that helps us change our motives. It changes our attitude. It changes our direction. Lord, help me serve you. You're coming back. Help me not to be so comfortable in this world. Help me to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Hebrews tells us, forsake not the assemblies together of yourselves, the manner of some is. As you what? As you see that day approaching. As the Lord's coming back, we need each other more and more. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change me, Lord. That's the message of Christ, his first message, as he kicks off his ministry. Repent. Turn from this world and turn to him and accept him. And I pray you do that this morning. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you. You love us enough to save us from our sin. Lord, you love us enough to not leave us in our condition, but Lord, to transform us, to make us more like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may it be like you. Lord, we thank you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Why don't you please stand and sing? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.